Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me. I want to be one of those people, don't you? That come after the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself? Self's pretty important. Deny yourself? Take up a cross to crucify yourself on daily? Lose your life? These things do not seem to be appealing or attractive options, do they? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Lose your life. The only way these things will happen is if someone sees the Lord. That's it. Saul has been knocked off his high horse by the light from heaven. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." He found out who he was. And he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Deny myself? Okay. Take up my cross? Okay. Follow thee? Okay." It's a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes someone deny themselves. Take up the cross daily and follow him. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua, the 5th chapter. I love this passage of scripture. It's awe-inspiring. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Neither." I like that. Neither. "But as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come?" Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servants?" Boy, his speech had changed, hadn't it? Not whose side are you on, us or theirs, but what do you have to say? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy." And that's the same voice that spoke to Moses from the bush. And Joshua did so. You know, seeing the Lord puts self in proper perspective. Turn to Job 42. This is at the end. Job says in verse 1, "Then Job answered the Lord after the Lord has spoken from the whirlwind and demonstrated to Job who he is and who Job was. Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I'll speak. I'll demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Look what a sight of the Lord did for Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Now, in the fifth chapter, five times, Isaiah says, woe unto them. Woe unto them. And I thought that too. Woe to those people that do these things or those things or think this way or believe that way. Woe unto them. And then in chapter 6, in verse 1, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, and that's very significant. Uzziah was a good king. And Uzziah decided he was going to operate as a priest and offer incense on his own. He was a king. He wasn't a priest. The priest said, don't do this, Uzziah. This appertaineth not to thee. He said, I'm going to do it. And he brings in incense as a priest. And all of a sudden, leprosy covers his body. And he runs out of the house, a leper. And Isaiah had admired and loved and esteemed King Uzziah. And he said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord in his unapproachable holiness. How no man can just waltz into his presence. There must be a priest. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. He covered his face in shame. He covered his feet ashamed of his walk. But with the other two they flew ready to do his will and cried unto one unto another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, the Lord says in verse 23, if any man, Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, if you have a will, if you have a desire to come after Christ, what a blessing that is to you. You know, no man by nature has this. The Lord said, you will not come to me that you might have life. That's our will. But if you have a will, if you have a desire, if in your heart of hearts you want to come after and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that is God working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. What a blessing to want. You know, I want to come after him, don't you? That's what I want to be, somebody who comes after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, coming after Christ is God's irresistible grace causing you to find the Lord Jesus Christ to be irresistible. And you have to have him. And you have to come after him. Oh, what a blessed place that is to be. To come after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, coming after Christ reveals the ugliness of self. Now, I know something about what I'm getting ready to talk about. Do you know who my greatest enemy is? Self. My self. Self-righteousness, self-interest, self-indulgent, self-seeking, self-willed, self-promoting, self-centered, self-serving, self-vindicating, self-justifying, self-pleasing, self-absorbed, self-love, self-conscious. I'm an expert on all of these things. Self. Self. All of these are in every self. Self. I guess there's a selfishness that's kind of innocent. I guess I never will forget one time. This is true. Walter Groover, bless his heart. We were driving back from somewhere. He said, Betty, I want some quesadillas when I get home. And she said, well, Walter, we don't have enough tortillas left for everybody. He said, well, just give them white bread. I want the quesadillas. And she said, Walter, that's selfish. She said, that's not selfish. I'm just thinking about myself. There I am. Selfish. You cannot serve the Lord and serve self. Self, that monster, is to be denied, renounced, refused, and seen to be for what it is, evil and disowned. Yourself. Now that's hard to do. It's impossible to do. But if you see the Lord Jesus Christ, it's exactly what you want to do. You see yourself for who you are, and you want to deny self. That comes from a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back to Matthew chapter 16 for a moment. Now, this is after Peter had made that confession of Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And if you really believe Jesus is the Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king, you really believe that, you've been born of God. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Peter's just made this noble confession. The Lord says, upon this rock, this confession of me, I'll build my church. Now, same conversation. Look in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must suffer, or he must go to Jerusalem, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. And my marginal reading says, pity yourself, Lord. Be easier on yourself than this. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Peter said, save yourself. No, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, the Lord says. Pick it up. That's something you do. You pick this cross up daily and carry it and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know much more, anything much more aggravating when I hear somebody talk about the cross. This is the cross I have to bear. Some kind of affliction, and this is the cross I have to bear. That doesn't have anything to do with what the Lord was talking about.
He wasn't talking about some kind of physical affliction or some kind of trial or trouble. He was talking about the confession of himself that's involved in taking up this cross. And he said, you take it up. This confession of me. This identification with the cross. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18, I'm not ashamed. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect, for the preaching of the cross. And that word preaching is the doctrine of the cross, the word of the cross. What the cross has to say is to them that perish, foolishness. There are people who will hear this message and they'll say, this is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Now, the doctrine of the cross that I'm called upon to carry and identify with, and this is my gospel. This is what I believe, even whatever it costs me, however mad people may get. The doctrine of the cross gives the true character of man. Now, do you want to know the truth about yourself? Somebody says, I want to find myself. Well, I'm gonna discover yourself to you. You want to know the truth about yourself? You look at the cross, and that's the only place you're going to get the truth about yourself. The one time men are allowed to do what they want to do and the restraint is taken away, they nail the Son of God to a cross. And that is how bad you and I are. The cross gives the true character of man. Don't tell me about the goodness or the moral ability or the free will of man. The cross exposes man. It exposes me for what I really am. And the doctrine of the cross tells us the truth of the character of God. This is what is so glorious about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the whole counsel of God. Every attribute of God, all who God is, all He's pleased to make known to us concerning Himself is seen in the cross. Think about this. What wisdom, what glory. His hatred of sin is seen in the cross. His holiness is seen in the cross. His absolute justice is seen in the cross. His grace is seen in the cross. His power is seen in the cross to put away sin. His sovereignty is seen in the cross. Two thieves, He saved one and passed the other by. His wisdom is seen in the cross. How He's made a way to be just and justify the ungodly. Oh, the glory of the cross. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. I've never heard a better statement than this. He said, if we limited everything we said to say nothing but concerning the cross, it would be a widening rather than a narrowing of our ministry. And I believe that, don't you? The glory of the cross, it tells us who God is. It shows us how bad sin is. And the cross tells us how a sinner is saved. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. A couple of scriptures I want to look at in the book of Galatians. Paul says in verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision. Now, by the preaching of circumcision, he means something other than the cross, something in the law. Yes, you're saved by the cross, but you also need to be circumcised, or you also need to do this. It's anything you need to do added to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he means by circumcision. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? You see, if I was preaching circumcision, nobody would be persecuting me. People would find agreement with what I'm saying. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. If I preach works in any way, then is the offense of the cross ceased. Look in verse 12 of chapter 6. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. You need to be circumcised. You need to keep the law. The only reason they do this is lest they should suffer persecution for the cross
of Christ.
For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. That stuff about you need to keep the law, they're hypocrites. They don't keep the law. They boast about the things, what they want to do. They want to feel good about themselves by getting, I've changed their life. I've been an influence on them. I've changed their life. I've really done something good.
No, you haven't. And all it is hypocrisy because you haven't done anything good. They don't keep the law that they may glory in your flesh. This is what they want to do. They want to glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And I think of Paul making this statement because you're going to glory in something. We all want to glory in something. Every single one of us do. You're going to glory in something. Now, Paul, as we talked about him this morning, I mean, look at the way God used him. He used him to write the scriptures. He was the man God used more than anybody else to expound the gospel. He was used to found so many churches. He suffered so much for the cause of Christ. I mean, you think of what a special man Paul was. I mean, everywhere he went, he got beat, stoned, thrown out of town. What a man Paul was. And yet he says, I won't glory in any of these things. I'm the chief of sinners. All I will glory in is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's all I have confidence in. I can say that with just as much conviction as Paul. The only thing I have confidence in is who Christ is and what he did. That's everything in my salvation. And I'm not looking anywhere else. This is the motto of every believer. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we take up that cross, that confession of Christ, what he accomplished on the cross. What did he accomplish? When he said, it is finished. Oh, what blessed, precious words. When he said, it is finished, my salvation was finished. Outside of my personal subjective experience. He saved us. And he called us. Which came first? The saving or the calling? He saved us. And he called us. With a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We pick up this cross that the world finds so offensive. Turn to John chapter 6. Verse 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now if you would look back into that particular message, you would see that the Lord taught, and you read this for yourself, you see that the Lord taught that men are totally depraved. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me drawing. John 6:44. No man can, no man has the ability to come to me. That's total depravity. He taught election. He said, you've seen me and you don't believe. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Divine election. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. He taught effectual, successful redemption. He said, this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, all the elect, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He taught irresistible grace. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. He taught grace so clearly. You go back and read that chapter yourself. And in verse 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, harsh, difficult, inhumane. Who can hear it? Who can listen to such things as this? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? I love the way he says that. He said, you're offended now? You're really going to be offended when you see me ascended at the right hand of the Father saying these things. And you find out, you'll really be offended then. Verse 63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits
nothing. The words that I speak to you, these words that you say are hard sayings, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me. Sticks it in again. No man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. You don't believe me? You can't believe me. You won't believe me unless it's given to you of my Father. Then that's what he says, isn't it? No uncertain terms. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. What's a cross for? Crucifixion. Paul said, I die daily. We're called upon to crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts and deny it. It'll buck against self-denial, but we're to pick up that cross every day. That's why I said daily. This isn't a one-time thing. You know, you crucify the flesh today, it's going to be waking up tomorrow in all of its power and wickedness, and it's to be crucified once again. Pick up your cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the only way Christ can be followed is by denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him. And you know, when you follow him, you know what you're doing? You're looking to him. It's so simple. I mean, that concept is so... You're looking to him. If you can't see him, you're listening to his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Another, a stranger, they will not follow. You hear the truth of God and you follow. You hear the scripture and you follow. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back to Luke 9. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life. Now there's a lot of difficulty involved in denying yourself and taking up your cross daily and following the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't easy in any respect. It's not easy. But the Lord says, if you decide to not do it and save yourself the trouble and save your life, you'll lose it. We'll spend eternity in hell is what that means. We'll go to hell. There's no salvation apart from this. Now, I'm not saved because I deny myself and take up my cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved because Christ died for me. I'm saved because salvation is by grace. I'm saved because he did a mighty work of grace in my heart. And if he's done a mighty work of grace in my heart, he's given me a view of him that makes me hate myself and want to deny myself and deny myself and to take up that cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake. Now that's the key. For my sake. Is any self-denial too great? Any sacrifice too much for his sake? I want you to think about that. Let me tell you what God does for his sake. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He didn't forgive you because you asked to be forgiven. He didn't forgive you because you were sorry. He didn't forgive you because you promised you'd never do it again. He forgave you for one reason. And it's all the reason he needs, for Christ's sake. I can tell you why God would forgive you for Christ's sake. Let me tell you what he has done for your sake. You know, Paul said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. For Christ's sake, we will lose our lives and not count it a loss. Turn to Philippians 3. Looked at a few of these verses this morning, but let's look at them again. Paul was talking about what he used to be. Though I might also, verse 4, have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has, whereof he might not trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? I thought these were the plus column. Those I counted loss for Christ. They went from the plus column to the negative column. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss, but rubbish, but garbage, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. That's strong language. When I hear people,
I've heard people, well, I've lost this for Christ, I've lost that for Christ. Oh, big deal. Big deal. You lost dung. Is that something to cry over? Is that something to be proud about? Paul said, I count all things but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. He lost false religion and he gained Christ. He lost self-righteousness and gained Christ's righteousness. He lost bondage and he gained liberty and freedom. He lost false peace and he gained true peace. He lost pretended glory and he gained true glory. And back to our text in Luke 9. The Lord asked this question. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Now, if you save your life and in the process of doing it, you gain the whole world. You have everything that this world deems good and desirable. And you have an easy life and a wonderful life and you make all kinds of friends and everything's downhill and everything's wonderful. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. Now understand this. Jesus Christ cannot be separated from his words. Whosoever will be ashamed of me and my words. Everything he said. Remember his marching orders to the church, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Whatever the Lord says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. And Jesus, shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise? Whose glory shine through endless days? Ashamed of Jesus, soon or far let evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine o'er this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, let this be my shame, that I no more revere
his name. Ashamed of Jesus? Yes, I may. When I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. I can be ashamed of Jesus then. Till then, nor is my boasting vain. Till then I'll boast a Savior slain. And oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of myself. But I am not ashamed of the gospel. As a matter of fact, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the gospel I believe. I glory in it. It's a gospel worthy of the glory of God. And no, we're not ashamed of our Lord, nor are we ashamed of his words. It's a gospel worthy of the excellency and glory of God. Now, Paul said this in 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. He said, Timothy, don't you be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but you be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. May God enable us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, our identification with the gospel. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and lose our life for his sake. Let's pray.